The book of Luke. How many know that we need somebody to nudge us, to tell us that we can do things for God? Amen. Thank God for a friend, a husband, a wife, a brother or sister here in the church that are there to be able to help us overcome, because their testimony spoke great things to our lives. Amen. Luke 12. This morning, if I were to ask you, what is success? Some people this morning, they define success by achieving professional goals and wealth, while others find it in a personal growth, making positive impact, maintaining maintaining work or life balance, feeling personal happiness and fulfillment in a life of peace and purpose on their own terms. But ultimately, the best definition of success is the one that aligns with your own vision of life and goals you set for yourself. Here in the Word of God, what one person thinks that success is, we see what the definition of success according to the Word of God. Because can I tell you, what we are going to read about what success is to God is different than what you and I might find to be success in what you and I think success is. The book of Luke, chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 13. This is the, if you have a subheading, how would you like to be defined by the rich fool? God doesn't put your name. All he puts you down is, you were a rich fool. Because you thought success was one thing to you, but it's different to what success is according to what God says. Starting in verse 13, it says, then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, a ground of a rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? In verse 18. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. In verse 20, but God said to him, isn't it different what we say about ourselves to what God says about us? Oh, Jesus. See, this man said all these things about what he thought success was. And listen to what Jesus says. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. The definition of success. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We ask you this morning in the name of Jesus God, help us to understand what you desire and more what you require, Father, of our lives. We thank you, Lord, this morning. Help us. Help us in all things, God, that we can be, God, faithful unto everything that you desire for our lives. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, how many know that Jesus was not politically correct? Amen. Jesus was not politically correct. Jesus speaks it how it is. He doesn't have to go around the block to be able to bring forth what he wants. He is direct. He brings forth the word, and the word comes forth, amen, not in a merry-go-round way, but directly where it pierces directly at our heart. And can I tell you, I thank God that the Lord is not there and is not politically correct, because if it would have been a politically correct statement, amen, I would have been more confused than I really was already. See, Jesus, he tells a parable. We have a rich man in verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a rich man yielded plentifully. See, in those days, wealth wasn't measured by how much, amen, money you had. You couldn't depend on money. It brought forth, and it was always inconsistent in the value of wealth was measured by your possessions, folks. This man was rich because of the ground that he possessed. The Bible says that it produced plentifully. It was a good ground that made good crops. The rich man had more than he knew what to do with. How would you, to have so much that you didn't know what to do with it? Oh, Pastor, I'm just believing God that he would just meet my needs. See, in verse 17, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? It tells us that he had run out of room for storing his crops. So he decided to build more barns to store his possessions. He was confident that everything was going to go according to his plan. How many know that our thoughts are not his thoughts? Our plans are not his plans. Our ways are not his ways. See, this man had everything lined up. He had everything, and everything to this point was according to how he planned. In verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He started talking. Boy, you've done real good. I'm so proud of you. He was speaking words that were saying things about what he had accomplished, what he had done, what everything that he had obtained. I got all this stuff I've accumulated for years. I've got so much stuff I can just kick back and take it easy. I got no more worries. I'll just sit back and spend the rest of my life enjoying all the things that I have done. Just one more harvest and I'll have it all made. See, there was no doubt in this man's mind that he had succeeded. He had done it all himself in his own ways. I had my barns, my crops, my goods. Everything was mine. It was my abilities. It was my work. It was my talents. He was just a few days away from having everything that he had ever wanted in life. See, we can bring it to today. We have a man who had been taught all his life what success was. He had been taught success was measured by his pocketbook and his driveway. From the time he began to walk, he started school. He went to pre-K. He had been taught that he needed an education to be successful. You can't make money and get possessions unless you have an education. So I'll spend 20 years or so of my life earning an education, because education is going to make me be successful. He gets recruited by a big firm, and he works his way from, amen, an intern to the very top. Some 25, 30 years later, he's sitting up in his office as he's overlooking the city. He's looking out the window. He thinks about all that he has earned by his blood, by his sweat, by his tears. He's got all the money that money could, amen, have. He's got a house. He's got houses. He's got cars, amen, sports cars, luxury cars, amen. He has everything he needs. He's got all the stuff that defines him as successful. In just a few more years, he says to himself, I've worked, I've done, I've labored. Now I can finally retire. I can now begin to sit back, take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. So what can you and I see about that? What's wrong with that? Isn't that the American dream? You work your whole life so that at the end of your life, the last 5-10 years, now, amen, you and I might retire when we die. Isn't that what the whole world strives to do? Is that some idea that you are looking for in your life? What is your definition this morning of success? See, for most of my life, just like many of us here this morning, we get an education, we work hard, we play hard, amen, we party hard, and we get as many toys as possible. We build a big retirement fund that one day we can begin to enjoy the toys and the bank account that we have now accumulated, right? Everybody would look, if that was you, they would say, man, they're successful. One day, they can walk by my coffin and read, I was the pinnacle of success. Can I tell you this morning? Sometimes we can make it sound like having stuff is wrong. It's not wrong. Sometimes we can have the wrong impression that it's wrong to have an education, a good job, and money in the bank. James 4:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. It comes down from the Father of life. So having all these things is not bad in a way. God gives us everything we have. So possessions in themselves are not wrong. Don't let it, don't let the thought of possessions being bad cause you and I this morning to miss the meaning of this parable. What's wrong with in this parable is, the possessions now have you. See, this man was, he was motivated not by being successful, but now, success had possession of him. Jesus says that life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. See, we need to be able to see the problem that this man had. The problem was, it wasn't the possessions, it was his heart now. He spent his entire life, if that is you, you spend your entire life now focused on the wrong thing. Consisted on get more, and more, and more stuff. It is selling your souls to the God of materialism. You know, I recently talked to a man that this man said, I went into and I'm not going to say the church, but I went into a church. And when I went in there, I gave an offering and made a promise that if I would stop doing what I was doing, and it worked for a short time, but this man fell back. See, the problem is that when you sell your soul to the God of materialism, we know what we've done. We hear of many people like this this morning. The bottom line in your life is your stuff and your bank account. Nothing stands in your way more of getting more and more and more. You forsake family. You forsake friends. Now, the things of God are not important. All you are satisfied, and now all that satisfies you is more and more and more. No time for God, no time for church, no time for anything. I have to do more. In other words, what you've done is you've accepted the world's definition of success. And you will do everything and anything to make sure that you obtain it. Can I tell you and make a statement this morning? You may get it all, but you cannot cure the problem that you have. And this morning we have big problems. In verse 20, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? See, what is the problem? Can I tell you, there is no escaping the problem. you might have this problem. See, possessions and success are only but temporarily. Temporary. One day, all the stuff that you have will begin to decay, and all that stuff will not really matter anymore. One day, all that success will not matter anymore. One day, everything here will be gone. One day, you will leave this world. There's a statistic that does not lie. How many want to hear what the statistic is? That one out of every one person will die. You are going to be that statistic. We will die. I had a sign that we make signs to go out there and hold in the streets. The sign that I had, 100% of 100 people, amen, will die. Where will you spend eternity? See, one out of every one person dies. One day your soul, amen, will be required of you. We will stand before the Lord Almighty and we will give an account of our lives. See, he's not going to judge you according to what you had in this life. He's going to judge you, amen, according to our place and what we've done with the life that he gave us. He's going to judge you according to what you did in your heart. See, what are you doing with your heart this morning? Are you giving in, chasing more and more and more stuff? Are you giving it, acquiring more and more money? Have you dedicated your whole life, amen, to the God of materialism this morning? See, God calls this man a fool. How would you like to be the fool? Pastor, that's not me. He wasted, see, what he did was foolish. He wasted his whole life. Matthew 16:26. For what will the prophet For what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in return for his soul? What is it going to profit you and I, folks, if we have everything but lose our soul? He gained the whole world, but lost his soul. His whole life was focused on himself and no time for God. You know, I talked to a lady from Honduras when I went on an outreach one day. And as I was talking to her, it was two ladies. They had just come back from painting. They were house painters, and they had just come back. They were waiting for a ride, and I caught them while they were sitting down right there at the curbside. And as I began to talk to them, the lady makes this statement. Listen to me. It broke my heart because it tells me about everything that the Word of God said here in the Scripture. I'm talking to her, and She's there. It was two ladies, like I said, they were from Honduras. And as they were there, she tells me, sir, when I was in Honduras, I was engaged in my church. I said, okay, so what did you do when you got here? She said, I came here and I started working. And all I do now is I work 7 days a week. I have no time for God. I said, so what was the use of you coming to the land of milk and honey, the U.S.? Because we come here to get a better life, right? I'm an immigrant. I came from Mexico. We come here. We work hard. But she, when she made that statement, folks, she said, sir, I was ministering in my church in Honduras. I said, so now you're here. What are you doing? She said, I have no time. I work every day. I said, we have three services. She looked at the, sir, I work. I can't make it. Everything was about, in the parable, about himself. His whole life. But when his life was over, he found himself before the very person whose life he ignored every day of his life. What is your definition of success this morning? What's the most important thing in your life right now? Because what's most important is where your heart, folks, is going to be. The most important thing is what you are chasing or pursuing in your life. Is the most important thing in your life Jesus Christ? If not, God is speaking about you and I this morning. We gotta align our ways of how we are. Are we chasing materials and living a foolish life? One day, everything you have is going to be gone. Somebody else is going to possess it. You know, we didn't have nothing, or we had very little. Not that we didn't have nothing. We had very little. But, you know, 10 kids would say, I'm going to take that beat up sofa. I'm going to take that broken TV. I'm going to take all these for what? When our parents pass away, this is what we're going to take. We're going to take broken things from somebody else's possessions. See, one day, everything that you and I have is going to be gone. Somebody else is going to possess what you have now. And you'll stand before God with nothing in your hands, amen, and nothing in your heart. Everything in your life will be empty because you didn't fill it with any things of God. And I'm closing. Have you made room for the Lord this morning? Have you made room for a relationship with Christ? See, this morning, you may have plenty of toys, plenty of stuff, money in your account. But the greatest thing that you can ever have is a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nothing else is going to matter. Nothing else is going to be more important. True success this morning is a relationship with Christ and a life that you are now going to live for Him. True success is living for eternity. You know, I started thinking, you know, I had a thought this morning. I said, I'm going to be 54. if we can say, if I'm lucky, I'm only going to live possibly 30 more years. Who knows? We don't know, right? I can't say how long I'm going to live. When I was praying, I thought this. I said, Lord, I have about 30 more years. What am I going to do with those 30 years? Maybe 40? Maybe? What am I going to? Am I going to spend my whole life chasing the wrong things that matter nothing to you? Listen, that's what God dropped in my mind this morning when I was praying. God, what am I going to do with the time that I have left? And I made a statement. I said, God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to live for you. Can I tell you, whether you have 1 year, 5 years, 10, 15, 20, however many years the Lord gives you, don't live them for the God of materialism. Live them for the Lord. Live them for God. Don't come and say, now, God, I'll give you the last few months of my life. When we wasted everything. And God says, you're a fool because you live for you. See, I don't want to hear those words. I want the Lord to say, enter in, my good and faithful servant, not you fool. How many want to hear the words, you fool? Raise your hand. We want to hear, enter in, my good and faithful servant. We have to be able to use the life that the Lord has given you and I wisely. Wisely. Because if we don't, we're going to get all these things, folks. Listen. But then one day, our souls are going to be required of us. Then what? Then what? You know, I close with this story. And I really am. I'm closing, okay? It's already set. You know, a pastor isn't a pastor unless he closes like 5 times. Amen? So, here it is, my wife's grandfather. He's 98 years old. And he's there, the whole family is there, surrounded him. He's 98 years old. And we're praying, the whole family is there. We're praying all around him. Father, give him more time. He says, I don't want more. He makes the statement. He says, I don't need more time. Lord, I'm ready for you. We're praying, Lord, heal his body. Lord, give him more time. And he says, no, stop praying that. He says, Lord, I'm ready for you. Whenever you take me, Lord, you take me. Because he was secure. He said, I'm 98 years old and I'm secure. I'm secure. We were praying, Lord, give him more time. He says, Lord, whenever you take me, Lord, take me. Because I'm ready for you. I live my life unto you. I'm ready to meet you, Lord. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here this morning. And you don't know about that loving Savior. You've heard about him in your life, but you don't know who he is in your life. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've heard about him through other people's words. but you do not know him personally for yourself. You're not right with Christ because you don't have a relationship with him. Your situation could change this morning. You can give your life to Jesus. If you're here in this place and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to pray for you. It would be our greatest honor to pray with you to accept Christ. It's nothing, it's something that we do not take lightly. It's a great honor. Is that you this morning? You do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning. And you want to accept him. Would you do something? Just do one thing. Just lift your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Let me change the order of this call. Maybe you accepted Jesus. My wife accepted Christ in 1987. And then she backslid. And it wasn't until, she was 24 years old that she surrendered her life to Jesus once again. Christ began to deal with her. Christ began to move upon her heart. The Spirit of God now began to speak onto her life. Maybe the Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning. The Holy Spirit is touching your life. He's tugging at you. Come back to me. You're away from God right now. I'm not saying you're an evil person, but you are away from God. And Jesus this morning, he wants to be your Lord and Savior. The situations of your life took you away from the things of God. But God this morning wants to touch your heart again. Would that be you? You're a backslider. You're not right with God this morning, but you want to give your life to Jesus. It's simple, folks. Just lift your hand. That's you. Anybody here, you want to give your life to Jesus again? From front to back, I'm not going to hold this any longer. You want to give your life to Christ? You're a backslider, or you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. God sees one on his heart. Anybody else? Anybody else? You want to give your life to Jesus? God sees one more. Anybody else? You want to give your life back to Jesus? Surrender your heart. God sees that hand. Anybody else? People are lifting up their hands. How about you? Would you drop your pride this morning? How dare, what are they going to say about me? How are they going to judge me? I've painted a happy face all my life. Can I tell you, when we are in the presence of God, God sees us for who we are, folks. And God wants you to come back to him right now. Anybody else? You want to give your life to Jesus? God sees his hand. Anybody else? Hearts, lives are raising their hands. How about you? Anybody else this morning? We want to pray with you this morning. We want to pray for you this morning. Would you lift up your hand? Honest people lifting up their hands, saying, God, this is my life right now, and I need it to change. If you lifted up your hand, would you look at me? Back there in the back, would you look at me? You honest? Would you come? Come. I just want to pray with you. Ladies, you honest? Come. Anybody else? You lifted up your hand and I didn't see you. You want to surrender your life to Jesus? Andrea, would you pray for them? Oh, God, we love you, Jesus. God, we thank you. Amen. Just pray right here. Just pray. She's going to pray for you. God wants to move, we have to allow Him to move. How is our heart this morning? See, having possessions they're not wrong. God blesses us. But it's now, do the possessions now possess you and I? Is that what we now strive to do? Instead of using it for the glory of God, now all we can think about is what am I going to build? He said to himself, self, this is what you're going to do. You're going to build bigger. And you're going to be merry at the end of the day. Possessions now, that's what was wrong. Possessions now possessed him. Not where he obtained things in life. Now they had control. If you and I are not careful, folks, we can fall into that same trap. We have to be able to say, God, everything I have came down from the Father of lights and given unto me. God, what you've given me, God, I'm going to use it for you. Can I tell you, when you use your things that God has given you for the kingdom of God, God in turn blesses you more and more and more. Maybe God is dealing with you this morning. You're not backslidden, but maybe God is dealing with you this morning. I'm going to open up the altar. Come, lay hold of God. Come, lay hold of God.
To you, never let me go. Lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire.